Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar verses in the 5th and 6th. I've preached along these lines many times, excuse me, but because of the nature of the culture that we live in and the sense of self-reliance and so on that is impressed upon us, it is a message that we need to be continually reminded of, and that is there's a God who cares and who's involved in our lives and in our circumstances and wants to guide and direct us and show us the way in which He would have us to go. These verses from the lips of Solomon, king of Israel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In other words, put your confidence in the Lord, not your own experience or your ability to reason or your ability to by your own wits, determine your paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge, or the Hebrew word for acknowledge here means know. In all thy ways, know Him. In other words, agree with the fact that He is involved in everything that we're doing. He is not only concerned, but He's involved. There are those who have this idea that God is the creator, and after He created everything, He just set it spinning and sent it off into space, and then He went off on vacation. Or He sat back and watched it, and it's sort of like a child who sets a top to spinning and sits there and watches it and sees where it will go. But that is not the image of God that He has revealed about Himself in His Word. In His Word, He has revealed that, yes, He has created everything, but He is still involved. In fact, the first chapter of Hebrews tells us that He upholds everything with the word of His power. Aren't you glad that He's still hooked up with this thing that He has created? One of my favorite verses along these lines is, again, in the Proverbs, and we'll spend a little time in here this morning. It's the 19th chapter. You've heard me quote it on more than one occasion. It is a verse that the Lord brings to my mind periodically when I get the sense that I need to have answers that I don't have. Or when I get pressure inside me. You know, you understand the pressure I'm talking about. We've all felt it. Well, I need to make a decision on this, or I need to do this, or I need to get this done, or I need to decide how I'm going to handle this certain situation. And the Lord will bring this verse of Scripture to my mind. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Now, the word devices here is a word that literally means there are many ideas, many plans, many schemes, many, many things that man thinks makes good sense. Nevertheless, the counsel, or the Hebrew word actually means plan or purpose. Nevertheless, the plan and the purpose of the Lord, that shall stand. In other words, what this verse is telling us, the wisdom that is being imparted here, is yes, there are many good ideas in men's hearts. But ultimately, it's the purposes of God that are going to stand at the end. That all of men's plans, all of men's ideas are going to pass. It's God's plans that are going to stand. Let me give you a good example from the Scripture. 3,500 years ago, the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian slavery by supernatural and awesome, miraculous means. They were set free from their bondage. They were delivered from their oppressors. And by promise of God, they were sent on their way into a land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. On the way there, they slipped and fell. And they failed to enter into the promised land. Why? Because the devices that were in their heart were these. The land is full of giants. They are armed, they are dangerous, they are mighty in war, and they live in walled-up cities, and there is no way that we can go in and take their property away from them. That was man's idea. God's purpose was that His promise to their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and those that had come after were going to be fulfilled. God's plan and purpose was for the children of Israel to inherit and to obtain and to subdue and to inhabit that land of promise. It didn't happen for 40 years, but it happened. Because the devices that are in man's heart are not nearly as powerful or as enduring as the plans and the purposes of God. And ultimately, one way or another, the plans and the purposes of God will come forward, even if man fails, even if men fall short, even if men fail to appropriate the plan and purpose of God, it will come to pass. There are many devices in a man's heart, many ideas, many thoughts. Nevertheless, it's the counsel or the plan of God that will finally wind up winning the day. Now, while we're in that area, let's turn back to Proverbs 16 and look at the 9th verse. This is a restatement in another way, in another form of the same idea. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It is very difficult to see this looking forward. It is always relatively easy to see it looking rearward. I can look in my own life and I can see so many instances of where I thought that I was making my own plans. It wasn't that I ruled God out. It wasn't that at all. It was just that I did not understand His passion to be intimately involved in everything I was doing. And I was raised in an environment and in a culture where you did for yourself and you provided for yourself and you looked to the Lord for His blessings, but the Lord helps them who help themselves, which is man's idea, not God's. That's nowhere in the Scripture. But that is such a common belief, and it was among my own. And so I look back upon my own life, and I see where I thought I was making these decisions, and I was. But yet it was the Lord that was motivating my heart. It was the Lord that was working in me to cause me to make those decisions that would direct my path in the way that He wanted me to go. And there's so many examples, but one outstanding example is how I wound up in Douglasville, Georgia. Don't you know God had water of life in His heart for a long time before it ever came into our hearts? How would a farm boy from rural northwestern Pennsylvania wind up in Douglasville, Georgia? I thought I was making those decisions, but looking back upon them, I see it was God. I see how He ordered my steps. You don't know how hard I tried to buy a house in Alpharetta. Thank God I didn't buy an Alpharetta. Amen. But you see, long before I ever came to Douglasville, God knew where He wanted me to be and what He wanted me to be doing. And I know I'm doing it, what He wanted me to do. And He directed my steps here. I didn't recognize it at the time. We rarely do. But understanding that, this is what we need to understand today. God is directing our today steps. And in the days ahead, we will look back upon today and have exactly the same sense of what I've just described to you when we look backwards. Can't you all say the same about your own experience in your own life and see the Lord's hand upon you as He has moved you in one direction or another, and you didn't recognize it when it was happening, but you look back and you see, yes, Lord, that was You. Well, what I believe He's trying to say to us today, because we're in a very significant time of change for us as a church. And that time of change as a church may also affect some other things that are going on in our personal lives, in our private lives. I recognize that I'm thinking about the Warlow family today. Don's company moved his office all the way over on the other side of Atlanta. Talk about a big change. Don's been with his company many, many years. Terry works for the same company. Change. There may be some change going on in your life. Why? Why? I can't answer the why, but I can answer this question. Is God involved? And the answer is yes. For we do not understand. That's why the Proverbs say, lean not to your own understanding, but do what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Jesus said something along these lines when he was talking about our sense of peace each day. He said, we ought not to fret about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Paul said we shouldn't worry about yesterday because we can't do anything to change it. And so we're to live today. The Lord said to me years ago, you know, that I've always been a one that would fret about, you understand the word fret? Fret about tomorrow. Fret about the thing that's ahead. And I, confessing your faults one to another, I confess that that is still a fault of mine. That I have difficulty resting in the Lord each day and just trusting Him to order these things. I mean, I know this is true. I know what I'm telling you is true. I'm having some difficulty walking in it. But bless God, as He's my witness, I'm going to learn how to enjoy the fruit of today. He told me one day, he said that we ought, that I personally should not fret myself about tomorrow, lest I forfeit the fruit of today. Fret not thyself, and this is exactly the way he told me, fret not thyself about tomorrow, lest you forfeit the fruit of today. And isn't it true that so many of us live exactly that way? We're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, so fretful over what we're going to do tomorrow, so fretful over what is going to happen to us tomorrow, that we lose the fruit of today. We get ourselves worried into we're a nervous wreck. And so as individuals and also as a church, we are to lean not to our own understanding, recognizing that there is a hand upon us, an unseen hand, an unfelt hand, a hand that we can only sense by faith, that is upon us, directing us and moving us. Now, I'm not talking about fatalism here. I'm not talking about our being robots and we're on strings and so on. We're making our own decisions. But is God at work in us, causing us to make the kinds of decisions? I came to Douglasville not because I thought that, when I get to Douglasville, you know what's going to happen? Okay, I can see it. I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to get to Douglasville. My wife is going to hook up with some Spirit-filled tongues talkers. She's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to get saved, then I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, then we're going to get thrown out of the Presbyterian church, and then the church that is going to need a pastor, and I'm going to be it. I would have run like a scalded dog had I known that. I came to Douglasville because there was a house for sale on Yancey Road that had 12 and a half acres with it and a barn. And I could afford it. And I wanted some horses for my boys, and I wanted to give them a farm experience, because we lived in big city subdivisions and so on all of our married life once we, you know, began that corporate climb. So the Lord just used my own desires to put me where He wanted me to be. And you could all, I'm sure, say the same thing about yourself. Now, The point that needs to be made this morning is that's exactly what is happening to us today. That's exactly what's happening in your lives. You're individually, you're wrestling with your particular circumstances. What am I going to do about this, and how am I going to handle this, and so on and so forth. Never forget there's an unseen hand upon your life. There's an unseen hand in your circumstances who is very much involved and much more concerned about your tomorrows than even you are. And as a church, understand that there's an unseen hand upon us as a church that is guiding us and is directing us and is moving us in the direction that He would have us to go. He's closing some doors. He's opening others. He's providing some ideas, and other ideas that we have come up with, He is finding ways to cause us to move in a different direction because those doors are being closed. This is the way it works. This is how the Lord works in our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 10, you can follow with me if you like. I'm going to turn to the scriptures myself and give you a little time. I did not write them out. I just referenced them. But this is a familiar verse. Jeremiah 10 and 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. What I just described. I did not know that in coming to Douglasville, this is what God had in store for me. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in you. Why is it not in you? Because he hasn't put it in there. I guarantee you, if God would put his total direction for the rest of your life in your head, in your heart, you as well as I would muck it up, as they say across the pond. We would foul it up so royally. And so he doesn't do that. Secondly, he doesn't do it because he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. And so he does not give us a plan for our lives. It is so... Think about how silly this is. I mean, we do it all the time. Some of you have perhaps done it to others within the body. You may have said to some of our young people, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? A logical answer for a lot of young folks is, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. We put unbelievable pressure on our young people when we try to get out of them things that they don't know yet. Because it's not in man to direct his steps. Do you know what I would have told you had you asked me when I was Jesse's age, Tony's age, at Amy's age, I guess I was already married, had a couple of kids, but in my teenage years, if you would have asked me, I had my life nicely laid out. I was going to be Victor Rockhill, M.D. I had my college picked out. I knew exactly where I was going to go to medical school. I had the finances already arranged. I had a herd of cattle. Some of you have heard this story. I had started some farm projects when I was very young. I started with 100 tomato plants, and now I had a herd of purebred, registered, white-faced Herefords. I mean, talk about plans. I had plans, and I had them very early in life, and I was working on them all during my teenage years so that when I went off to college, I knew exactly what I was going to do. Then came Lois. It was all over. You know. Is not in man to direct his steps. I was very specifically guided and directed. And of course, at that point in my life, all the adults thought, here's a kid really has things together. And I did based on that perspective. But there are many devices in a man's heart, including Rockhill MD. But it's the plans and purposes of God that will stand. Ultimately, those are the ones that are going to last. Now, the easiest way to live life is simply to yield to those plans, to acknowledge them. And that's what the proverb writer says. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? Direct your paths. go back to the Proverbs again and go this time to the 20th verse. I don't know how much of this I'm going to give you this morning. Maybe just a little bit more. This is one of those messages that could go on and on and on. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? I look out over the congregation this morning and I see Michaela Watson there. Sure, her mom and dad have dreams for her. It's all right to have dreams for your kids. But when you pray for them, pray for the will of God. Get in agreement with the Lord that you want His plan rather than your own. Would anybody in this congregation be brazen enough to say, I know what Michaela Watson's future is? But there's someone here who does know. And that someone is someone who loves her more than her mom and her daddy and her grandma and her grandpa. More than the combined love of all of those in her family, all of those in the church family, all of those who know her. And he has said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I have undertaken to direct Kayla's life and yours. Now, a way to peace is to simply agree with that. Yes, Lord, that's the way I want to live my life. And how's he going to do it? Proverbs chapter 20, where we left off on the 24th verse, look at the 27th. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. If you go into the basement of an unlit home, there's no electricity there, and you go into the basement, what do you take with you in order to see? You take a candle or a flashlight, some sort of illuminating device. When the Lord wants to illuminate your future, He will do it in your inner man. He will give you witness and a peace on the inside of you. That is the way He will direct you. Now with me, I'm an unsaved man, okay? And I didn't particularly want to live in Douglasville, Georgia. I wanted to live in Alpharetta. But I couldn't find peace up in Alpharetta. I tried to buy two different homes up there. I couldn't get it together. But I had one day, one Sunday, I'd been watching the newspaper for 6 months. One day, one time, there was a single ad for a piece of property here in Douglas County. It was the only time that ad ever appeared. I saw it, I called, I conquered. Amen. In my heart, I can't. That's it. That's it. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. And He led me here. Psalm 18 and 28 says, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. And then let's just wind up this morning on in Psalm chapter 37. Whoa! Oh my goodness! This is really good preaching this morning. It really is. And I, by grace alone, okay, I take no credit for it. But I'm enjoying what I'm hearing this morning. Amen.